League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, The Usual Suspects, as we continue to roll on. One in the books, two to go, plenty more show. A friend of the show that is a self-proclaimed media expert, a basketball aficionado, and dare I say a know-it-all. Kurt Lowe is on hold, been holding patiently. I don't think that was a bad thing, Kurt Lowe. I think, you know, you told me, you warned me about the fact that you were going to tweet live during the game the other day, and that I should be prepared to learn something because you were center stage. So, I mean, I think you know it all, or you have an opinion on it anyway, right?
No, I'm the most humblest man you ever met. I'm a man of God, man. I don't know much than the next person. But I go on Twitter. I do this thing because for Rocket fans, not for myself, Joe.
Okay, but I'm just going to tell you, man, even on Sundays, you're not afraid to take a couple of shots and call a man a brick.
Oh, ain't nothing wrong with that. If you shoot 37% from the field, and you shoot 27% from three, you deserve to get your name changed to Westbrook to Westbrick. I ain't calling him no damn name out of it, you know, that he's not.
Now you use damn. I'm offended damn's by the fact Bible. That a God-fearing man like yourself is going that direction.
Damn's in the Bible.
Damn is in the Bible, and so is
whore is in there too, I think.
Yeah, a whole bunch of things.
Whore, ass.
All right, what's on your mind today, buddy?
No, I called because I wanted to talk about, first of all, the attendance. You know what the problem is with the attendance? It's 25%, 35% to do it, you know, going back and forth. But it's got a lot to do, and 75% of it has to do with the price of the lower bowl section from the left to right. I'm not buying a ticket for $100 plus over there in that section just to sit up there in the 24th row, okay? I'm going to sit in that lower bowl section for $100, and I'm going to sit four rows from the damn rocket seat. It doesn't make no sense to where they have those tickets or where they're going. Stop aiming for the rich people. You know what I'm saying? Rich people don't give a damn about basketball. They just buy it just to buy it. If you're just trying to get money, that's fine. But you can't pack the stadium with fans. This is a Texans place. This is an Astros place before Rockets. I understand that. I get that. I got to hear it on Houston radio 24/7. I don't want to hear it, but I got to. But it's just the fact that it's a pricey. This ain't New York City. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason why it should be 100 plus. You know what I'm saying?
Kurt Lowe, you do realize that it's corporations that are buying those.
I mean, yeah, but there's nobody that's buying this. So you got to supply the product to the customer, right?
Kurt Lowe, that's the misconception. Those seats are sold, brother.
Yeah, they sell.
They're
out.
They're sold. They're just not being used. You know how it is. Maybe you don't. But there are plenty of CEOs. There's plenty of CEOs that are working it. At about 4:30, they look in their desk drawer and go, "Oh man, there's a game tonight. I didn't give the tickets out." Then they frantically try to give them to an employee at work. And most employees, when they get free tickets, go, "Well, I got to get a babysitter. I got to do this. I got to do that. And plus, if I don't use them, I didn't pay for them, so I don't worry about it."
No, I agree with you on that point. But them seats are empty. That means nobody wants to go there to their game.
Okay? It could be that they're at the bar, the club, or the restaurant, and there's too many distractions. They're in the building. They're just not in their seats. Kurt Lowe, buy an airline ticket. If you buy an airline ticket, once you buy it, it's yours. They can't tell you when to show up or that you got to sit in front of the desk at your gate, that you can go wherever you want.
Joe, from what I'm told is that them lower bowl sections on the side and side outs are season ticket people, right? So those guys just buy season tickets just to give them to, you know, businesses, whatever it is, you know, just to suck up to, you know, whatever it is. So they don't show up. So why do you sell out the fans? You know what I'm saying? Real fans of the Rockets, because you want to appease the rich people.
Bro, because if you don't sell those tickets, you can't pay players and you don't have a team.
The NBA – The NBA is the second most popular sport in the world, okay? Basketball is the second most popular sport in the world behind soccer, all right? Don't give me that.
Curlo.
They're making millions of dollars.
Hold on, man. You still have to sell the ticket. Listen, this is a business, too. They're not giving it. You don't leave money.
That's the problem.
Curlo, you realize that your whole argument, the reason why the NBA is what you said it is because all the teams sell those tickets in those sections in their buildings.
Dude, yes,
Curlo, it's a fact.
They lower the price on those tickets.
No, so they don't, Curlo.
I'm going over to the Smoothie King tomorrow, during the season last year, and I can sit at that same seat I sat over there for $70, $80. I can sit over there in New Orleans for $40.
Yeah, and watch Omer Asik play. Yeah.
I'm going to watch two big-time superstars. You know what I'm saying?
The brow. Yeah.
And that's more than what Houston's got.
All right. Well, this is getting childish.
Wow.
I mean,
you're a Rockets
if you don't
fan.
Understand the basics of business, then I don't know what to tell you, bro. But they're going to make as much money as they can make. And at the end of the day, those seats will be filled by 8 o'clock. It's not that people aren't showing up. It's that they show up late. Every seat in there was packed by 8:30. The problem was the game started at 7. And if you want Leslie Alexander and the rest of the NBA owners to make less money, you're dumb. They're not going to do that.
I'll give you another case in point. The broadcasters are all being moved off the court and up, not to be mean to the broadcasters, because they're going to sell each and every one of those seats on the scorer's table for $1,000 or more per ticket, per game. And you don't think that that's a revenue generator? And you don't think that's why they're the highest grossing or second highest grossing league in professional sports? They're selling, believe me, in every building from Cleveland to New Orleans to everywhere in between, they're selling. Those aren't the problem seats. Those aren't the ones that are hard to sell. All right, so Kurt Lowe's off the books. He's chimed in, and so we can move on. If you want to join the show, you got something on your mind. We got the NFL draft on Thursday night. You got the Stros and the Indians. You got the Rockets and the Thunder, and plenty more to talk about. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Suffering from first class cabin fever. 5-hour layovers from Norway to Egypt. I'm to the point like the pyramids.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, Usual Suspects on the air as we are every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. Got some basketball out of the way. Mentioned a little baseball, but we haven't really touched on the NFL, the draft coming up.
What is that? What?
Yeah, the
what
mock is that? Drafts are rolling in. Thursday night, the first round. Talk about an elongated experience. The NFL draft is, what, 3 days now?
Yeah. Is it? Does it go?
I think the first round is Thursday. The second and third round is Friday. And then Saturday is the rest of them.
My goodness.
That's a long time.
Are you going to watch all of the rounds?
No. I am not, as I nod my head. No, I will not. I will check in on the ticker from time to time to see who went where.
Yeah.
But each of us should do like a 7-round mock draft and bring it.
Is that what we should do?
Oh, my God. You know, Juggalo Trey does the mock draft.
Set like a 7-round mock draft?
I think we should listen to Juggalo Trey's mock draft and just see how ridiculous it is. Because he's probably like, with the 7th pick.
Oasis.
The Chargers take.
Oasis.
Yeah, Oasis. That's who, yeah.
And then trade them for Radiohead and a second-round draft pick.
That's funny. April 27th, first round. April 28th, second and third. 29th, fourth through seventh rounds. 8 p.m. start on the 27th. 7 p.m. start on the 28th. And a noon start on Saturday, April 29th, for your final four rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So... have you changed your mind at all on what the Texans are going to do or should do? Because, well, I tell you what, I keep seeing final mock drafts that they keep changing.
I agree. They do. And they keep focusing on a quarterback in the first round.
Actually, would it surprise you if I saw safety on a couple of mock drafts?
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. And you know what? The more, you know, I've been preaching for a tackle. And this just isn't a very good draft for tackles.
It's not.
It's very thin as I started to look at who, I mean, there's basically four tackles within the top 75 mm-hmm. picks or now, players.
Didn't we say it's deep in secondary?
Yep.
And what, D?
Just the second, yeah, secondary in general. If you look at it, this little like offensive tackle, there's I have four that are rated in the top 75. One of them is top 25. The rest are 55 through 72. For cornerback, there is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in the top 50 mm-hmm. that they're saying of players. So, yeah, it's and then as far as safety goes, six more within the top 60. So, I mean, that's almost 20 cornerbacks and safeties in the top 60 picks. That's deep.
It is. And here's
that's a
the
lot
thing.
Of talent.
As much as everyone wants to focus on the sexy position of quarterback, it just, the more I see the mock drafts, the more I'm convinced it's just a horrible draft for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it really is.
So, I mean, there's other ways and other options, yes, but then if you already know that you're taking a big risk because the guy you draft says in this year's draft he's a number one pick, but maybe in another draft down the road, he might be a second or third round pick, and you and for the most part, most of them have all the similar traits, you're probably going to still have one sitting in your lap in the second round.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't waste the first round pick. Like the latest mock draft on ESPN, Kuiper's got UCLA linebacker Takaris McKinley sliding all. I'd be fine with that. I'd be great with a guy like that sliding to them at 25 who was higher rated earlier in some of the mock drafts. But hey, with Simon gone, he fills a need. You and I were talking about it yesterday. You got to fill the holes that were left by guys that left to free agency on defense.
But I don't think that slot in particular, I wouldn't fill that need right now. I think that they have like the Pro Football Focus was the one I was looking at. And they at 25, they have Obi Melifonwu from UConn, mm-hmm. a safety going to the Texans at 25. And to me, that's probably more of the pressing need. I think this team needs to focus on quarterback, offensive tackle, safety, and cornerback. That's their four needs. And yeah, you do need to replace Simon, but you can replace him later in the draft for depth. You know what I mean? I think that their cornerbacks are getting old.
Yeah, we talked about
it. And they need to look at that. And when there's 12 in the top 50, that's an opportunity to go out and maybe, you know, do you go defense first and then maybe let, you know, maybe get Cam Robinson or Garrett Bowles in the second round because they're picking 57. And that's about, I mean, they're saying Cam Robinson is about 55. So you might be able to grab him if someone else doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I just get someone of value, too. Don't screw up the first pick. Don't reach.
Well, I'm okay with that. But I'm not saying it has to be an offensive linebacker. But I'm saying, I mean, outside linebacker. What I'm saying is, whatever they do, it doesn't have to be quarterback in the first round. But there's plenty of holes to be filled before they go and address that.
My concern is that they reach. Like, if for example, if they were to draft DeShone Kizer. Mm-hmm. At 25, mm-hmm. let's just say,
mm-hmm.
because Mahomes and Watson and Trubisky aren't available.
Right.
That's reaching. Like, that dude should be in the second or third round, easily. You know, if they were to draft, if Jordan Lewis was available, cornerback from Michigan, that's not reaching. That dude's a top 25 prospect. That's about where he should go. So that's value. You're getting that first round value out of that guy who fills a need. That's my big concern. Don't reach in a draft that's really thin in other areas because you think you don't need to fill. No,
and we're in complete agreement. That's why I'm saying it's not just a position in my mind. It's addressing the needs that you have. And they definitely have a glaring need across the offensive line, either with depth and or starters. They've got to get better. We know that the secondary has been depleted to some degree, but it's an issue of focus that they have to make sure that they concern themselves with. And then from the standpoint of just age and depth, even in the linebacker position, I think the things that they have to address. I was talking before the show with a couple of police officers that are buddies of mine getting coffee this morning, and they brought up a topic that they've been listening to the show that we've been talking about, which is the whole Myles Garrett thing. And it's amazing how many A&M fans are hypersensitive to the fact that they're and defensive about the fact that he doesn't take plays off, that he's the hands down number one pick. And you look at it and say, the more you look at it and compare, he's going to come out with the same exact reputation as Clowney had.
Mm-hmm.
A freak of nature athletically with all the tools, but until he proves he can go on every down, he's going to be put under the microscope and he's going to be tested and he's going to be basically called out until, you know, he performs at a high level, being the number one overall pick. But again, this is also it's a product of the draft that is this year. Normally, the first couple picks are quarterbacks and offensive skill positions, but they're just not that that kind of franchise-changing quarterbacks available this year. And I don't think I think that maybe in a different draft he might be more of a top 10 pick.
Yeah, yeah. There's also what I find fascinating is what are the Browns going to do? Because they've got 1 and 12, so right. Yeah, they'll probably take Myles Garrett. But what do they do at 12? Do they move up? Do they get rid of 12 and get even more picks for more depth? It wouldn't surprise me if they use what they have to move into that last pick in the first round. And maybe take a quarterback there and use that 12th pick to fill some other needs that they have. Because, I mean, goodness knows, they have a ton of needs, right?
Right.
So, yeah, you might see them.
I think a quarterback at 12, to your point, is a reach based on who the quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I say if you take them all and you put them all in a pot, for all the strengths of any one guy, they all have enough weaknesses that they're all kind of – similar value wise to where if you got a, I'm not sure I would waste a top 12 pick on a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, they need a QB. They're going to get the edge rusher. They're going to get Myles Garrett. And then they need help in that secondary. They need help at safety. So you might see them take Myles Garrett, take a safety if Malik Hooker is available, although a lot of people think he'll go top 10. Mm-hmm. But if he slips to 12, I could definitely see the Browns jumping on that. And then if they want to reach a little bit and maybe jump up to that last pick in the first round, to grab maybe, you know, Deshaun Kizer if he's available, or, you know, Mahomes. Although I think Mahomes might end up going a little earlier than even I would take him. But
some drafts have him slide into the top, into the first round. Some have him slide into 36 to the Bears in the second round.
Yeah. I saw 12 to Cleveland for him, which I still think is reaching for that guy.
Yeah, Trubisky is the guy that they keep saying too is going to crack the top 15. But even then, it doesn't surprise me. Yeah. But it doesn't impress me. I just don't think Mitch Trubisky is worth a top 15 pick.
No.
And you look at Kuiper and McShay did a combo draft, mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
Their second round picks all at one point were basically first round projections. Dalvin Cook 33 to Cleveland, Deshaun Watson 34 to the Niners. Ryan Ramczyk, offensive tackle, Wisconsin, and Pat Mahomes to the Bears.
Yeah. The Texans have the picks. They have one in the first, second, and third rounds, two in the fourth, 130 and 142, a compensatory pick from the Browns, one in the fifth, no sixth round pick, and one in the seventh.
They have a second?
Yeah, 57.
So the second they gave up for Osweiler's next year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we can keep going on draft if you want. We've got Clarence who wants to get in here. Haven't heard from him in a while. And we also have got a lot of more fun things planned for you. So we appreciate you sticking with us. We're the Usual Suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Call me Dr. Love. They call me Dr. Love.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel. The Usual Suspects. We got some Usual Suspects on hold, by the way. Good to see the crew, the band getting back together, and the crew checking back in.
Speaking of, what are they? Usuals. What the hell did you call them?
I don't know. I just said we got the regulars.
Regulars. Okay. I'm like, what the hell? El Jefe just finished his final.
Yeah, congratulations.
Did he pass? That's the question. If it was a Photoshop final, I'm saying A+.
Dude's got an unmarked squad car. If he didn't, he's definitely tailing the teacher home just to put a little pressure on him.
I'm saying A+. Somebody said Kurtlow sounds more black than Barry. Ben said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's wider than me, too. Spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you mention that already?
Off air.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's hard to differentiate these days.
I know. That's why I thought I'd bring it up. Hey, real quick, before we do the calls. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No. I'll wait.
No, go ahead.
I just want to know, Nick, Nicholas,
yo,
Nicky Poo, did you get high before you came to the show today?
No.
Why are you walking around smiling the whole time?
Why can't I smile? You've been saying that all day.
You're not a happy guy. You don't smile a lot. I feel like there's something going on.
There's nothing going on.
I feel like you either smoked a lot of weed before you came to the show today, and you're just all like, yeah.
My contacts.
Or
they're bugging.
There's something up, and you know that you were not telling us.
There's nothing.
There's a pretty good chance of that.
different. Well, I put a good chance of what? Me not telling you something? Yeah. Well, that's probably true,
right,
too. But
I know that.
But not today. I mean, sometimes, but not today. Yeah. Why? What? Why are you giving me this look? What?
I haven't noticed you excessively jolly today.
He's smiling.
You're excessively dapper today.
He's smiling slash smirking as he's walking around. Why doing anything to anyone.
But you do that to me daily normally just when smirking. Someone says something about me.
Well, yeah, but I eventually get to it. I mean, I eventually read why I'm laughing.
Sure.
But not Nick.
You're playing. Making this so
why are you
creepy.
Laughing? See?
You got some sporty new headset there.
Yeah, I went to a really fancy store in town and got me a pair of headphones.
Attaboy, Walmart. Don't mention it till they sponsor you. Walmart. I like that. Good job. Yeah.
My grandmother puts a K on Walmart and an R on window. Or an E.
Does she really?
Yeah, she'd be like, roll your window up. We're almost to Walmart. I'm like, what is going on in this universe? What are you talking about?
My grandma used to call it Winnie the Poop. Swear to God. And she solely believed in her heart that it was either misnamed in the book, but he's really Winnie the Poop.
That I would just hilarious. Get on people who would call it Whataburger instead of Whataburger.
Yeah.
Really? It's not Whataburger, man. Come on.
This is, well, I say does. She's dead now, but this is the same grandma that said divan. Yeah. She called it a divan. The couch?
Oh.
She called it a divan. And yeah. And she said Winder.
Winder.
Winder. I'm okay with Winder.
And
I like
she,
that.
This is the one that had the tics. Were you here when I was talking about her tics? Where she would lick her shoulder?
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that
on
there.
But she also had, like, I don't know if she did flowers. Like, she had a flower shop forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but she had these crooked fingers. And I'm not even lying to you when I tell you that, like, her index finger at that last knuckle, it just made, like, a right turn about 45 degrees.
Kind of like a Ronnie Lott finger?
Pretty much. So it was, like, straight, 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 45 degrees. So it was really a challenge where she'd be like, bring me that over there. You're like, what the hell are you pointing at, lady? There's a lot of stuff over here, nanny. You're going to have to get it yourself because I don't know which one of these things you pointed at with that crooked-ass finger.
It was remember the Anthony Munoz finger during Radio Row?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
Oh,
I did.
He was sitting right in front of us. Yeah, the Hall of Fame offensive lineman, and he holds up his hand in the middle of the interview, and I just went, and I didn't say anything out loud, but like right at the knuckle, his little finger did a direct right-angle turn.
Yeah.
It was just pointing out the wrong way.
Who's Strahan has one of those?
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you know the whole story about Ronnie Lott, right? So Ronnie Lott had a dislocated finger, and they said, you're going to be out like 3 to 4 weeks. And he said, what if you just cut it off at the knuckle? And they thought he was joking. And he said, no, I'm serious. Can I play next week if you cut it off? And they said, yes. And he amputated his finger at the top knuckle so he could play.
That's crazy.
I wonder if he regrets that.
You think?
You know what? I wondered the same thing. Like, you think back now and go, if I had it all to do over again, I was going to get paid for that game anyway, and it really wasn't a playoff implications type game.
Yeah, that's dumb. Somebody asked me what my thoughts are on stealthing. So I'm going to read this article at the break and inform you guys of what stealthing is and what my thoughts are. It's apparently the newest dangerous sex trend. So I'm going to look that up. I don't know what that is.
I would not have known unless you told me.
Yeah, I didn't either. I haven't heard of this until the texter asked about what my thoughts were on it. So,
I thought that's like when you drive by someone real fast in the hallway and you break wind and keep going.
That's crop dusting.
Them. Oh,
that's
crop dusting too.
Yeah.
Well, we're different planes now. Now we're in a stealth.
That's true. So, very true.
All right. I get that. All right, so we got a couple calls that want to get in here. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, what's up, my man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. How you been?
Oh, been good. Just been working hard, trying to stay out of trouble.
Falling asleep at the wheel anytime soon?
No.
Okay.
I wish.
All right. What's on your mind, brother?
I believe this draft is the best draft for my Saints and anyone who's trying to shore up their defense this year. Because let's say there's no quarterback. There's barely any offensive lineman that's any good. And let's see, anything really on the offensive side is kind of a reach, I would say, this year. But on the defensive side of the ball, it's looking very plentiful and very bountiful, if I should say. Any team looking for any kind of depth should actually be happy about this draft and I wouldn't say trade up, but kind of just stand pat and see what other teams are trying to do. But I'm just really happy because my Saints really don't have to pick anything on the offensive side of the ball this year. They should just go all defense.
What about that scrub the Saints just signed in the backfield today? Are you happy about that?
I'm happy for the 2 years that he's got because he's not going to be an every down back. He's going to be first or second and let Mark Ingram come and take over. And the way that Sean Payton shuffles running backs around, they stay relatively healthy in the backfield. So that's why I'm saying you don't – that's a big plus on our side. So that way that takes away from – that takes a little bit of pressure off of Drew and the wide receiver. And that affords us to use the high picks that we have to go – let's say defensive backs because mm-hmm. we really need them. Our linebacker core is okay. Our defensive line is great, but it's secondary where we really, really need the picks to come in at.
Yeah, you guys need help at linebacker too. I'm not gonna lie to you. You do need some linebacker help as well. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, defensive side of the ball does need to be addressed.
Yeah. If we get the, I'm not saying don't go. Don't get the head-hunting defense that we had in the championship years, but somewhere similar to where we won't have to have any infractions, quote-unquote.
Right. Hey, appreciate the call,
all right, Clarence. Thanks for chiming in. We've missed you, buddy, so don't be a stranger. He had a lot of wheeze going on there, and us and ours.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
But, you know, the mock draft had the Saints taking Christian McCaffrey. Now they don't have to.
No. No, they don't. They definitely, I could see them, like you said, I could see them drafting secondary, but linebacker as well.
Yeah, and if you're under a rock, Adrian Peterson finalizing a 2-year deal to sign with the Saints today. So
yep. He's
off the board. Adam, we see you. We'll get to you in just a little bit. We got a special feature coming up next with Barry and a big weekend plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. We're going to talk to some guys from Carbrock Brewing.
You're big on jerseys.
No, not those. Not these kind I am, not the ones you're talking about.
Right. All right, so we have that and a whole lot more as we continue to roll through the show. This is Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, joining us on the show now, we have David Graham, brand manager for Carbock. And Adam Lesage, who is the, and I'm not making this up, people, the director of fun for Carbock. So, David, Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks you for having us, Barry.
Yeah, now, first things first, let's get this out of the way. Director of fun. tell me how you got this, because that sounds totally made up.
I'm just the luckiest guy on the planet. Essentially, I'm in marketing, but I market exclusively to the athletic community. So I lead up our cycling team, our running club, our mountain bike team, disc golf tournaments, just anything that gets people sweating, and then we drink beer afterwards. So essentially, I literally drink beer and ride bikes for a living. It is the greatest job in the world.
I really thought I had the best job in the world doing radio. Apparently, I do not. You're like everybody's hero. You go out and you have fun, and then you just drink. Like
you've got the second best job, Barry.
Okay, yeah, without a doubt. Now, David, do they let you get out and drink at all?
Yeah, I get out of the office every once in a while and join him on these activities. But really, he's a great ambassador for the brand to be out there showing people what Carbock's all about. And that is, at the end of the day, beer is fun. And we want people to have fun while they're drinking beer.
Beer is always fun.
Absolutely.
Whether it's the BPMS 150 or a jersey contest that we have coming up. Now, that's what I want to talk about a little bit. So, first of all, Carbock sponsors the MS 150. Is that correct? You guys are one of the sponsors?
Yep. For the last several years, we've been a proud sponsor of the BPMS 150. It's one of those things where we're able to naturally link something that we like to do, which is riding bikes, drinking beer, with something that is for a fantastic cause.
Perfect. Now, this jersey contest, I'm going to be there on Saturday in LaGrange, emceeing the jersey contest. And this is big time stuff here. Like this, people take this very serious, right? And it's called the Primal People's Choice Jersey Contest presented at the AT&T stage. We want to get that all right. That's I feel like I've earned a rest just after getting that right.
You've earned a beer for that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you guys have won this twice now, and you are the current winner, correct?
Yes, sir. We are the reigning champs right now. We raise a lot of ruckus at the People's Choice Contest from Primal. But we raise a lot of money. We're almost to $150,000. We've raised the money for musculosclerosis or for the National MS Society. We've logged thousands of miles together and created this badass team that just is it is a team in the truest form of a team. And when we get to LaGrange and we finish that day one ride, we throw just a bitchin' party out there.
Nice.
And when we get to that primal stage, it's our team's opportunity just to let loose and yell, you know, just car bock. It's the most exciting thing you can possibly imagine.
So you guys are going to make this as difficult for me as possible on Saturday.
Absolutely. But we'll bring plenty of beer for you as well.
Well, there you go. See, that's why I'm getting a driver. There's no way I'm going to drive back from LaGrange after all that beer.
Camp out with us.
I might do that. Well, if I didn't have to be back here Sunday for a show, I definitely would do that. Now, let's talk about the jersey. What goes into making the jersey, since you guys are the current champions and will be defending your title? What goes into the jersey that you guys won with?
Sure. So last year we won for our Love Street kit. So Love Street is our Kolsch Style Blonde. It's a really fun brand. That brand is all about music to your beer. It was named after the club downtown in Allen's Landing, Love Street Electric Light Circus and Feel Good Machine. It was a psychedelic rock venue that that existed in the 60s. So that jersey was all about bright colors and really communicating that music to your beer theme. And then this year we're picking one of our favorite brands, Staycation. So sort of the why go anywhere else. You don't have to travel far to have a great time in Texas. And it's also got really loud, bright colors. I think it's going to look pretty bitchin' on the road.
Now, you guys won last year. Now, do you bribe people with beers? Because they vote, right? The fans vote, all the writers that are there, everyone votes up until like the last five, right? So until then, are you just going around giving beer to people and bribing them?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's
We have absolutely no shame. We are bringing out 60 kegs to LaGrange, 60 kegs to LaGrange. To serve to everybody out there. So, yeah, we're bribing them for sure.
60 kegs. Now, I'm going to get one of those. So, what are you going to do with the other 59? No, I'm just kidding. All right, I can't drink that much beer. There's no way. I'm a lightweight. Like, two beers in, I would not be able to ride a bike. So, I'll just tell you that now. All right, well, now tell us what we can expect when we get there. I mean, you guys have gone through this. And people that aren't even riding that maybe want to come out and catch festivities, what's going on out there?
Well, Carbach, we pride ourselves on throwing the most, it's a legit party throw out there. But we have a VIP tent that is exclusive just to our cyclists. And, you know, there are some exceptions like friends, family, loved ones, just for some of our cyclists. But we also have a full-on beer garden out there that we have beer servers that are TABC certified serving our product to everybody. We have music playing. We have bike racks for everybody's bikes. And we bring enough beer for every cyclist.
Wow.
At the BPMS 150. And we pride ourselves on that because whenever we throw a party, we love our cyclists. And even we've been training since November for the BPMS 150. And so we are largely networked out into the cycling community. And we invite everyone to every one of our training rides because we want it to be the BPMS 150 to be the safest, just most badass experience you could possibly imagine. And so we have a VIP tent that has no lines, food, massage therapist, all that kind of stuff. So we could take care of our cyclists. But that's when I say our cyclists, I mean the cyclists that are on the Carbach MS-150 team. But outside, we throw just an equally badass party for our cyclists, meaning our cyclists, the cycling community, Houston, Texas, Austin, Texas, San Antonio, all of Texas. And we love to spoil the hell out of our athletes.
I love it.
10,000 beers is what we're bringing, the equivalent of 10,000 beers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
That's plenty of beer. I don't know if you can have plenty of beer, but that's a lot of beer. How about that?
If you don't have fun at the Carbach tent, that's your fault. You need to work on that.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah, you just need to make some better life decisions.
Now, Adam, I know you're cycling out there. David, are you cycling, or are you going to be like me and take a car to LaGrange?
No, I take a car for sure. I camp out Friday night. I'm going to cook myself a nice steak, but I help with the logistics of the team, and we've got a great volunteer crew that makes sure that the people who are daring enough and put the commitment and time in to ride have an excellent experience once they get there.
Well, dude, I'm looking forward to it. This is my first time emceeing the event, so I'm really looking forward to it, and I will see you guys Saturday. That's David Graham, Adam Lesage from Carbach Brewing. Thank you guys for being here, and we'll see you Saturday.
Thanks for having us, Barry.
There you go.
See you guys. Thanks for stopping in.
David and Adam.
Adam with
cool
a D.
Cool dudes. Yeah.
Not Adam with
cool,
a T.
Yeah, cool dudes. Carbach won it last year, and apparently it's going to be wild.
That's pretty intense to have won the MS-150.
No. They won the jersey contest, not the MS-150, the BP MS-150. Just the jersey contest is what they won. They're beer drinkers. I mean, I'm sure they care about placing, but they care more about the Midway party. I mean, when you heard them talking about how many, they bring 60 kegs, like, come on, bro. That's crazy. See, I wish that was how I had ran the marathon. About halfway through the marathon, we stop, we just get drunk, and then we finish the marathon the next day. That would be cool. Now, Adam invited me before we did the interview. He had invited me to ride with them next year. He's like, "Yeah, bro, you should ride with us." And I was like, "Bro, I'm out of shape." And he was like, "You have a year to train for this." It's like, okay, still, that's a lot of work. Like, I'd probably be Fat Barry again by that time. So I'm not interested in that. Would you guys do it? Have you ever done anything like that?
So I haven't done the biking part, a biking thing, but I know the Rockets equipment manager, Anthony Nyla, has done it like the last 4 years. And he's an intense, intense cyclist. And he was really bummed last year when the weather knocked out the first leg because he's very, very much driven by that. But it's a hell of a challenge when you think about it because everybody assumes – Texas is just so flat, but that course, au contraire.
Have you ever done any long distance thing like
this? No, not really. I would. I mean, I might try it, but no, I'm not really into that type.
I ran the marathon, and I swore I would never.
You ran a Houston marathon?
Yeah, 2008.
That's one hell of an accomplishment.
2008, and I swore I would never run again. And it honestly took me about a year and a half to go back out and run again. I was.
You're recovering the whole time.
I was wrecked after that. I mean, it was just it was. It was a lot harder than I thought. And one of my three bucket list items, one was to run a marathon, two was to skydive, which I haven't done yet. And I'm scared of heights, and that's why I kind of want to do that, to conquer that fear.
You should
do it. It's fun. You have done it?
Yeah.
Shut up!
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Did you pee-pee yourself?
No, I forgot to pull the...
You forgot to... No, you didn't.
I swear. The guy
but
I had
you
to...
were attached to the...
You forgot I was to pull attached the to the instructor who pulled it for me, yeah.
Okay.
That sounds
so you let a guy pull your cord?
He pulled your...
Yeah, he pulled it for me.
Okay. That's good.
Was
he
it good for you?
It was good for me, yeah.
My third bucket list item was to do an Ironman, which once I looked at, I mean, I still would want to do it, but the problem is I should have started that when I was 30 and then done the rest of them. There's no way I'm going to do an Ironman.
Did you hear what happened
mid-40s.
At the one here?
This yeah. weekend? Guy passed
died
away swimming.
In the water.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My sister-in-law volunteered. Nancy was a volunteer
from
Indy Anderson.
Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah. Yeah, he had, and what happened, well, what I heard, what she told me was he was swimming, he got out of the water because he was struggling a little bit, and then they were like, well, maybe you should just quit, and he was like, no, I'm fine, I'll get back in, and got back in, and that's when he had a heart attack or something like that and died, yeah.
Especially someone that cares enough about their fitness, they're prepared to do an event like that, and it's just, that's terrible. By the way, my wife has done 12 marathons.
Has she really?
Including Boston. And,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and New York. And you have to qualify and run a certain time to get into Boston. And
that's
she
right.
qualified and ran Boston. So it's pretty.
It is.
I'm like, that's impressive.
It's not easy.
No.
It is not an easy thing to do. So my hat's off to her for being able to do that. And thanks to the guys from Carbach Brewing for coming out and talking to us. I'm looking forward to hosting this jersey contest on Saturday in LaGrange at 6 p.m. I'm supposed to be there at 4, so I plan on hanging out for a while. So if you are riding in the BP MS-150, make sure you come up and say hi in LaGrange, and we'll chat it up. We'll have
Will
some fun.
You be wearing your Astros jersey?
No, I'll just be wearing
your
a
Texas
polo.
Jersey?
Nope, I'll be wearing a polo.
What about your MS-150 onesie, which is a jersey and shorts all in one?
If I had one of those, I might.
With the zipper front.
I might do that.
Well, you can get one still.
No. Nope.
They might even be able to find you
it's
a special
late.
One.
It's too late.
I don't know.
I'll try to put that on me.
I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, that'd make for some pretty good photo ops.
No.
Okay. All right. We got two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left in the show. If you want to be a part of the show like Adam and Jeff, which we are going to get to next, you can hit us up on the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776, and or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.